The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Brian Ortega in the producer's chair today, in for Jeff Parlay. Jeff Parlay feeling a bit under the weather. Negative. Anybody's asking. Negative. Still not feeling well, so he's taking the day off. Brian, appreciate you being here, man. Good to see you. Later.
Good to see you.
There you go.
Yeah. The whole microphone thing threw me off.
We refuse to put Brian on camera. Is that a thing with his contract?
I think so.
Brian later will have a Top Gun review for us. Very exciting. Very look forward to that. Listen, it's June 21st. It's the longest day of the year. But we are getting to the dead of summer, and you would think that there would be less and less to talk about. Oh, no. We are not at that part of the summer yet. Loaded with stuff today. College baseball continues. Ben Wilson will join us in studio later in the show. The hits just keep on coming. I have a play last night. Ole Miss got it done. The over didn't get there yesterday morning, though. Let me just say that. That was one hiccup in it all. But I am on I'm on Texas A&M today. That is coming up. We'll find out what Ben is on today. Two more games in college baseball as Ole Miss and Oklahoma now are just three wins each away from winning it all. We'll get into all that. It's a funky bracket. Ole Miss, 100-1 ticket for some of us. We're just going to lay low. We're not going to get too crazy about it. But just know that this is getting very exciting. College baseball, Ben Wilson will join us. Mark Borchardt on Major League Baseball a little later on. And we got to talk about the latest defection to LIV Golf, Brooks Koepka, case you missed it this morning, in what you could probably have predicted last week after his ridiculous comments when some reporter dared to ask the always ornery Brooks Koepka about LIV Golf, and he very unintelligently, because he has nothing intelligent to say, I believe I said on air, I don't know if it was on this show or on Primetime Action, just sort of waved it off. Oh, you're taking away from the U.S. Open. Kind of his tell that he was on the move. And Brooks Koepka is the latest. Abraham Answer also reported another top 20 golfer headed to LIV Golf. There are rumors of others, and we will get to those because it is all-out war now between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. We'll talk about that. But we're joined, as always, first thing Tuesday morning to talk how he did in golf, any tennis picks, and, of course, the drama, the betting drama that has been the NBA draft. It is Drew Dinsick from both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Drew, what beautiful location are you broadcasting from, sir?
Having major tech problems this morning, so I'm just out in the yard. no idea if this is some sort of subterfuge or attack on the basis of some of the stuff that we put out there in the last 24 hours, but yeah, not a great morning for the old computer. So
okay,
we'll see.
Where should we start? Because you just teased something. I sort of want to leave this. Let's wait for that here. Let's just get back to what happened this weekend first. Golf. Did the U.S. Open treat you okay? How'd you do?
Oh yeah, golf was great this weekend. And by the way, super fun tournament. Congratulations to the USGA for putting on probably the best U.S. Open that I can remember in the last 5-10 years. The course was spectacular.
That's awesome.
The setup was, the setups for Saturday and Sunday were so freaking good. They created exactly the right tone and note and drama that you want on, for a major tournament. And I thought the players who you expected to step up and play well at that course really did, did their part and gave us something incredibly entertaining. So that was an awesome event. I would take more of those.
Any open championship outrights have you made yet? Nothing yet?
No, I'm sad that I don't have some of the prices that were available for Zalatoris, though, because it does feel like he's a decent course fit. And boy, oh boy, if there were ever a golf player that were due, it feels like Zalatoris is that guy.
But, he is the definition of due. That's right.
Okay. It should be a great the Open should be amazing as well.
All right, this is all crescendoing, ladies and gentlemen, to NBA draft betting drama. This is very exciting. Okay, tennis. We are in the final prelims to Wimbledon. Again, grass season, the shortest of all the surface seasons, and grass, really, if you blink, it's gone. Do you have any plays today, either on the men's side or on the women's side? Two tournaments on both.
No, I usually take it pretty easy this week because motivations are flying all around. The only thing that I do have going is I'm riding Angie Kerber to take the title in in Germany. I think that Kerber is still a little underpriced for a Wimbledon title, considering how much experience she has on grass and what a distinguishing factor that is this time of year. But just riding out some owns futures that have a decent amount of equity now, and looking for Kerber to come in as well, so that that she gets a little bit of momentum heading into this tournament. But the big shocker, the big riser so far this whole grass season has been on the women's side, and it's been your gal.
Yes.
Beatriz Haddad Maia, man, oh man, two titles, back-to-back titles on grass is something that I never would have thought we would see from her in the year 2022, but here we are, and boy, has she gotten some momentum.
Yeah, clay was thought to have been her best surface, and here she's crushing it on grass, won again this morning in three sets against Kaia Kanepi. Wimbledon, remind everybody, Wimbledon, which begins next week, or this weekend, I guess, technically. You are kind enough to do the Beating the Book Wimbledon preview podcast on Friday. You, me, and Dan Weston will convene for that. Do you have Wimbledon futures in pocket, either men or women's?
Yeah, only hit the women so far. The men's side feels like Djokovic to lose. This is exactly sort of the reverse setup of the way that French Open was for the women, where it was Iga's to lose. But the men's was a little more open. I feel the exact opposite. But on the women's side, I've got a decent amount of Ons Jabeur in pocket. She's done nothing to dispel my enthusiasm for her ability to win this title. And then, as mentioned, I think Kerber's got a realistic shot. I know people are still high on Iga. I've seen her price get beat up, actually. Somebody's out there betting Iga like they know the final result here. Plus 150 is a little rich for me, considering what we've seen from her on grass to this point in her career. And the fact that she elected not to do a warm-up tournament, you know, it doesn't really signal much to me, other than, you know, maybe she's just trying to save a little juice for later this season, which I think is a good strategic sound move from her camp. But I also don't think that she ought to be priced as this prohibitive favorite, considering she's, you know, her success at on grass is somewhat limited.
I come, by the way, nobody more on planet Earth in the tank for Iga than me. I completely agree with that assessment. I got Iga again the night that Ash Barty retired at 9-1 for this tournament.
Wow.
I would not bet her. Yeah, it was a Boyd here in town. And I wasn't even looking for that, right? I was looking for, hey, let's see if there's any Iga French that are stray, right? And I'm like, wait a minute, she's 9-1 for Wimbledon. I wouldn't play her at this price either. She's never won a grass tournament before. Could she win this? Sure. Very possible. She's won 35 matches in a row. But for all the reasons you state here, plus 150, that's not really a price that I would take. And there are lurkers, right? You mentioned Haddad Maia. You don't know what Bibi Andreescu is capable of. So there are players. Ons Jabeur, you have a much better price than 10-1, right? What do you have, 31-1 or something?
33 is, I think, the best price I got there. But, you know, 10-1 is starting to get close. Yeah. You know, there's going to be some landmines in this draw. Serena Williams is going in unseeded.
Yes.
And she is not, you know, by no means am I expecting her to be an easy out, even if she hasn't really been playing much. She is still the greatest women's tennis player of all time. Yes. And the best on grass. So. Oh,
it's awesome calling a 23-time Grand Slam champ a landmine. That's exactly what she is. She would be a landmine. Okay. We have plenty of time to flesh this out. We're going to run into a wall in about 3 minutes. But I want to get into the drama that is the NBA draft. And so we'll go through what I was doing on one side, what you were doing something much bigger on the other. So Sunday night, I'm diving into my NBA draft analysis, right? And it's not like the NFL draft where we do it weeks in advance and there's tons of things that we historically beat it. The NBA draft, for goodness sakes, here in Las Vegas, there is literally one shop, William Hill, right, that has one prop, one. Who's going to be the first pick? That's all that's available here in the state of Nevada, at least here in Nevada. Maybe they'll open it up here in the next couple days. Okay, great. So I just dove into that, and just from a basketball standpoint, and I laid out my thoughts here yesterday on the show, and yesterday morning, Paolo Banchero was anywhere between 9-1 to 12-1 in various shops outside of Nevada, and the only one here, William Hill, he was 7-1, which I promptly spelled out the reasons why I was going to bet it, and I did. Now, that's all me in a pocket. What you were doing was far more vast than this. Explain.
Okay, well, I guess I should set this up that this is all still speculative. I don't have inside
information. Nobody knows anything.
No one knows anything. But guess what? If you have one market to price, I don't understand how you can make this more of a market, frankly.
Yes.
I mean, if you only have one that has anything decent liquidity worldwide, how can you mess this up so badly? It's a head scratcher. The fact that Palo was ever in the 25-1 range to me is mind blowing. Many experts and evaluators were long held that he was the best prospect of this class, and every single person that put out a mock draft put a caveat for their first pick that it's a 3-horse race. I don't really know. I guess the odds say it's Smith, so I'm going to put Smith at one. Like, that was about the conviction that you had with most of the experts that were putting out mocks, and I would still say that that's the case to this day. And frankly, I feel like the entire top of the board is just not priced correctly. And at this point, like, the draft industrial complex has kind of moved on to long shots and down the board. And the draft starts at 4. And yeah, this implied certainty in the top three is just not something I can get close to. And honestly, yesterday, the Orlando Magic president of basketball operations came out
yes.
and did a victory lap, patting himself on the back for what a great job they did at keeping secrets, and no one knows what we're going to do. And honestly, if you say that and then turn around in 48 hours and take the guy who was chalk for 2 weeks, that doesn't make any sense. He's literally telling you, no one knows who we're going to take. You all think we're taking Smith, but we're not. Like, I don't know.
Hey, hang on to that thought. Exactly what I said to Jeff Parlay yesterday, by the way, on the show. I was like, these books have one job, you know, and the Magic have one job. How can everybody mess this up? More on this after the break.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM, that is, with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app. Won't take you but a few seconds. Do that today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to hang with us this morning at @whale_capper. He is the co-host of the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with his buddy Andy Molitor, and NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with Sarah Perlman, broadcasting live from his beautiful backyard in the LBC, as Snoop once dubbed it, Long Beach. Now, you started the segment. Now, let's get right back into this. You started last segment by saying you're having technical difficulties. I want to seize on this comment. I know it was sort of a throwaway from you, but my buddy, pardon me, my buddy Dr. Bob, back in the day when I used to work with him, there were times where he was convinced that I'm being totally serious here. He was convinced that he was getting hacked. In fact, he would come on this show right now and he would tell you, "Oh, I know I was," by people, because he knew that the people that were of interest, or the people that had interest in him, whether it was syndicates, whether it was books, whatever, sure, were interested in what his plays were going to be. Okay, so he was convinced of this. Now, do you believe, and we're going to get into what's been going on here, but do you believe that really, like, you feel paranoid about it at this point?
No, not really. And honestly, if I had any confidence in Skype as a product, I would maybe feel more. But
so
like,
true. Skype, it's just Skype. It sucks. Yeah,
Skype. Yeah. It's and honestly, you know, Microsoft is up. You know, they're updating a bunch of stuff. Skype is questionable and at best.
I should apologize to people at Skype, because you know why? Even though it was very very sketchy through the years, they did a lot for me in the end. So thank you, Skype.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. And they're making this possible. So
yes,
thank
that's
you.
Right.
Just wish they would improve the product a little.
Yeah, just a little bit. But you know, that's another story. Anyway, so what's swirling here?
Okay, so the Smith stuff going number one, I think, is the first kind of the mistake assumption by the market. And to me, the press conference that President of Basketball Operations did yesterday confirmed that, frankly. And I had heard, relative strong takes that you know, the analytics team and the, you know, the president himself, they did not have Smith as the number one on their board starting the process, that they had Chet one, they had Paolo two. And I think that realistically, from, you know, from folks in and connected to Smith's camp, from, you know, reports that are out there publicly, it sounds like the Smith, you know, 3-day experience with the Magic did not go especially swimmingly. Like, there are people saying he legitimately tanked that that exercise because his team is kind of trying to point him to OKC. That may be true. That may be complete speculation or some, you know, misinformation planted. But I have never really been sold that Smith is the guy at number one. And I think that the conference yesterday, and, you know, specifically the idea that no one knows yet what we're going to do, is, you know, it speaks a lot. To, you know, what, you know, what is actually going on in that front office with the one, number one pick. And so a market that once had Smith at like as high as minus 500 to me seems like a, just a complete miss of a price. And so there's got to be value somewhere else on the board. And the obvious, next decision is then, well, there's been reports by people way, way, way up the food chain, you know, the Shams and the Wojs of the world that were like, yeah, there are two, you know, they're considering two prospects here between Smith and Chet. And so the obvious answer is, well, if it's not Smith, then it must be Chet. And you dig in a little bit and there's, you know, legitimate reports from last Thursday that Chet's team was not providing the full medical information to Orlando to let them make a clean evaluation because they were pointing him to OKC. At least that's the, you know, reason that they gave for not providing that full medical information. And I'll be completely frank, there are medical questions that have been swirling around Chet Holmgren going back to his, you know, kind of introduction into the space, because he is a very unique physical specimen. He does not have,
yes.
I mean, like, you can't look at him and not wonder, like, you know, I poo-pooed people during the March Madness kind of run, who are like, Chet's never going to make it in the NBA. Look at his frame. It's like, he's 20. Guys go to the NBA and they put on weight. Like, that is not a crazy, you know, thing. And honestly, if a team is sitting there looking at what his physical tools are and are like, oh my God, we might have the next Giannis here where we get this guy, we put NBA weight on him. And, oh, by the way, he can shoot. Like, this is, you know, this is a generational talent. The problem is you need a clean medical on him, because there are plenty of reasons that he could have this unique physical appearance that might impact his ability to perform long-term in the NBA and to even, you know, frankly, even put on weight. Like, this may be just the way that it, you know, things are. And so I was keenly interested to see if he and his team were going to put him through the NBA's heart screening procedure and get those questions kind of out of the way, really. Because, again, this is not just me sitting in a box saying that I think something is happening. Like, there have been people that have asked these questions and rumors swirling about this going on, you know, 2-3 years now. So, you know, the fact that they elected then not to do the NBA heart screening, huge red flag. And not like that was confirmation that something was going on necessarily, but it was like my eyebrows immediately went up when I saw he didn't do that. And then, you know, you get the report that he's not sharing medical information with the Orlando Magic, and their excuses, they're trying to steer him to a specific team. Well, what is the, you know, what do you make of this?
That's very odd.
They're literally trying to take him out of contention of the number one pick by their own admission.
Yeah.
And so here you have now a Magic front office that's saying no one knows what we're going to do. Ha, 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 you're all so stupid. Do you think we're going to take Smith? And you have a team around Chet who's saying, well, we know that there are medical questions swirling around our guy, and we specifically are hiding stuff to point him to a team that's not number one. Well, what does this leave by process elimination? Is obviously there has to be a better chance than 25-1 that Paolo was going to be the first pick.
Yeah.
Like, there's that was like the light bulb moment. Like, what is happening here? Like, this can't be right.
Go ahead. No, continue. Go ahead.
So then, you know, that's not even the only out, frankly. Like, the Houston Rockets are out there just professing their love to anyone who will listen about how much they love Paolo. Like, the Magic certainly know this. You know, the teams that are trying to point their guys to number two know this. Like, the idea that you can get the Rockets to trade up to one and get extra assets and land at three and still get the guy you want if you're Orlando, that's very real. I think the idea that Orlando worked out a guy like Ivy suggests that they are probably considering trading down to three. I think if the medicals are all clean for Chet, but he doesn't want to play in Orlando, if Smith is not at the top of their board, and but they're fine taking him three, you could still very really realistically see a scenario where Houston ends up trading up to the one, takes Paolo, and that cashes the first overall bet as well. So there's a lot of paths here.
This is great because you and I never shared our thoughts on what we were thinking on all this. Now, the one part, so yesterday I came on the air and I talked about it just from a sheer basketball perspective. The one part I didn't know was the Holmgren medical thing. That part I was sort of unaware of. But I did mention yesterday, I said, if somebody's trading up to number one, it's for Banchero. They're not doing it for anybody else, right? That's the other thing. But I just went from a basketball perspective. My whole thing was, look at the Magic's roster. And they've got all of these sort of name college basketball players that we're well aware of and that had their success at the college level, from a Jalen Suggs to a Cole Anthony, Franz Wagner, Mo Bamba's in there as well. So they've got players, but every one of their players is sort of like a nice player but doesn't create their own shots. I really came down to creating offense. And for me, if you add Chet Holmgren, who does, to your point, who does have a skill set, right? He's a great interior defender. He can knock down long jump shots. Who knows what else he can be later in his career. George Jabbar, as far as Smith is concerned, well, like, he is a phenomenal 6'10" shooter, but it's not like he's creating his own shot. Banchero is the only guy of the three, and as you say, this is the consensus. It's one of these three guys, right? Banchero is the only one of the three that could make every one of those other players that the Magic already have on their roster elevate, because Duke would play through him a lot also, right? So to me, just from a basketball perspective, how could this dude, as of yesterday morning — we were showing yesterday's numbers right there — as of yesterday morning, he was between 9-1 to 12-1. And I'm like, and I said on air, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, you got to — now, I don't know if he's going to be number one, but that's a bet. And that's the point of that. Now, here he is everywhere else. He's like, now he's plus two. You know, he's in the plus two range at both William Hill and at DraftKings. At DraftKings, he is plus 210, I believe that is. Yeah. Plus 210. Yeah. The second short shot to go the number one pick of the draft. I mean, now would you tell people, because we'll get into the whole offshore thing here after the break, what that was all about, if you're willing to stay. But, like, you wouldn't recommend it at plus 210, would you?
I still make it better than – that implies, what, 33% chance? Mm-hmm. I make it better than that,
okay,
frankly. Especially if the medical stuff has any legs whatsoever. If Chet's camp was – was not forthcoming with medicals, then I think realistically his chances to go number one are zero.
All right. We'll talk college baseball later. We'll talk baseball, Major League Baseball, with Mark Borchardt. But, Drew, if you're willing to stay, I want to talk about what happened offshore with this yesterday, because this is fascinating on so many levels. The Paolo Banchero number one pick saga. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today and you'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, that is, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use it for betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it. The cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. It's Gil Alexander. Not to belabor the point any longer, but there is one offshore element to this. The Paolo Banchero number one pick of the draft. Again, the NBA draft is on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, June 23rd. So a little more than 48 hours from now, if you will. That's what we're all pointing towards. And this is just, you know, one of these things. It's a little betting case study, a little moment in time that we will remember, I think, whether it manifests or not. We'll certainly remember if it manifests in the end. But Drew Dinsick is kind enough to join us for one more segment. I don't know if he's kind enough or I just forced him to stay for one more segment. But I appreciate it, man. I'm like sending you texts. I'm like, are you okay? Can I just stay one more? I don't know if you have your phone with you. Okay, so yesterday... So we're on air, we do our thing, and it's like 9-1 in the morning. 9-1 on Banchero to be the number one pick in the draft. And he's still a distant long shot third. And then I start getting, you know, you start seeing tweets and stuff. We're like, oh my God, he's down to this. Oh my God, he's down to this. At one point, it was, I think he even dipped below $2. At one point, it was like plus 175. Anyway, a big offshore shop. you could see it literally bouncing up and down from about plus 240 to plus 450 was the number. I think you know what shop I'm talking about. And I guess, what do you make of that? Is it like, and again, none of us knows a thing, right? I don't know if the Magic are taking Paolo Banchero. I don't know if they're trading the pick. I don't know anything. But what do you make of like the aggressive back and forth there?
So this type of market where you have liquidity that's this thin is unbelievably reactive. And so let's just say for the sake of an argument that
here we go.
Let's just say that you have a giant shamrock-sized hole in your bankroll yes. because the Celtics let you down. Uh-huh. And you kind of see like, man, there's a very, you know, very decent way you could make up a lot of that lost ground. Because
let's just say
there's a very soft number in this kind of pretty illiquid market. Getting a bet of size down in this is super, super, super challenging. Right. Not unlike, say, like, you know, in liquidity, this even goes for major markets. Like if you're betting like the French Open in like January or something, like your bet's going to move the market because there's no liquidity in that pool. And so, the bookmaker has to be reactive to that sort of thing. They have to pay attention to that. And I think realistically, the fact that only one shop was willing to take bets of size and they were willing to take rebets means that they have to be aggressively reactive to the action that they're getting. And that's what you've seen largely. Even in like the over under markets where they're only taking 250 a pop, you know, you hit it once, it's going to move like 35 cents. Like the auto mover is set to max power. And like, I get that, like, that's a fine strategy from a bookmaking standpoint. But then that begets an opportunity where if you want to get more bets on Paolo at say 5-1, you know that you can now manipulate anyone else who's copying that price, right? So any other paperhead in the space that is leaning on a price that is generated at that market, if you go there, you can bet a thousand at a time on Jabari Smith for that matter, and the Paolo number auto moves up, and then you can then hit 10 other 20 other places 250 at a time, the better number for Paolo. So like it becomes relatively straightforward to manipulate the price you're trying to get if you're trying to get a bet size down in a market that is extremely illiquid. But it still is like it's like a totally different game than betting on, you know, an NBA side or, you know, NFL side. It's like it is like a totally different experience. There's no denying that.
No denying that. Is there any other NBA draft bets that you've made besides number one pick?
I got some small stakes on some longer shot stuff. Like realistically, the only market that was worth attacking was the one number one overall. And as I mentioned, that was even still a pretty thin pool. I think Smith goes number two. I think that's very, very solid. If any of this that I'm kind of projecting about the Magic and what they basically told us themselves yesterday if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly, then Smith is going to be there available at number two. And his camp was very transparent about wanting to go to Oklahoma City even before the lottery. They were saying, we kind of hope Oklahoma City gets the number one pick. That's where our guy fits the best. That's where, he has the strongest ties to the front office. And, you know, for all I've heard, that workout went very well. Oklahoma City kicked the tires on a couple other guys in case Smith went number one and they didn't have a shot. But I think if Smith is available at two, you have a very strong connection to Oklahoma City there, which begets, well, what happens to Chet if he's not one, if he's not two? He is, you know, you brought up some incredibly solid and correct points, in my opinion, about Paolo fitting with Orlando more so than Chet. And you can make a similar case that Chet does not fit well with Houston. Frankly, I do not see a world where you are putting Chet on the floor with Alperen Sengun. And, you know, realistically, Houston, faced with the fact that neither Smith nor Paolo is there for them when they thought they would have a choice between those two players, may ultimately choose to trade out of that third pick, which makes that then completely up for grabs. Somebody wants to get ahead of Sacramento and take Keegan Murray. that maybe happens at three. Houston ultimately elects to take Jalen Ivey because they have him as the highest guy on their board. That may happen at three, or they may ultimately just end up taking Holmgren at the end of the day. So it's a three is a complete mystery to me if we're right about one and two and it goes Paolo Smith 1-2. And then, anything else down the board, I've heard decent buzz on a handful of guys. The French New Zealand guy, the Jiang, decent buzz on him now getting into the top 10. There's a couple of landing spots, and his under was about 14.5. I bet that pretty hard. It moved to, I think, 13.5, but I think there's still plenty of room on that one. Similarly, I think if there is a Chet slide, if he goes past wherever they were targeting him to land, and there are a bunch of teams that have not seen his medicals and he didn't do the open screening that everyone gets, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of guys who are kind of in that lottery mix end up going a little higher than they were expected to, just because of that, slide would precipitate guys moving up. But again, if so much of the current marketplace is based on guys like, Draft Express is out there saying the top three is set in stone. The draft starts at four. Mm-hmm. And if chaos ensues, which I think is much more likely than the market makes at this point, then forget about really trying to pin down who goes 4 through 10.
So that you already answered my next question, which would have been, it was largely assumed that Jaden Ivey, then after those big three, in quotes, Jaden Ivey would go number four to Sacramento, but Sacramento has De'Aaron Fox, so it is a weird sort of pick to make in that regard. So you would not lay the heavy wood on Jaden Ivey going number four because of the uncertainty.
Yeah, on top of the fact that Sacramento didn't work him out. And honestly, the only path for him to go for, I think, was somebody trading into Sacramento's into their spot. And there's legs there, surely. Like, Sacramento is trying to win now, even though they don't have the roster for it. But that's the decree from the owner. And so, getting assets, getting guys who you can, plug and play right away, and, giving up that fourth pick to someone who covets Ivy is still a realistic possibility. A couple reports, notably from the Yahoo camp, and have come out recently saying that Sacramento has kind of settled into feeling very comfortable taking Keegan Murray in that fourth spot. And honestly, that satisfies that same purpose. He's an older player. He's a little more polished than some of these other prospects, and I think he could plug and play, considering his position and his general flexibility. So I think realistically, Keegan Murray under 5.5 was a good bet, but that's been steamed to unbettable numbers.
Yeah.
The top 10 starts getting crowded with a couple of these other names that you've heard a ton of buzz on. I don't have a home for Shaedon Sharpe, but apparently he does, because he's canceled all of his workouts from 8, 9, and 10 and beyond. So he apparently knows he's going somewhere in the top five. Johnny Davis apparently has a hard stop with the Wizards, although I don't necessarily see that exactly. That's maybe more of his camp promising that. It's starting to get real crowded at the top. And I think some of these guys are going to slide into the teens.
Love that one of the biggest European prospects is Nikola Jovic. Every letter the same, except for the K and the V. That should be fun. All right, Drew, thank you. Appreciate it, man. The fascinating stuff at the top of the draft. Who knew we'd get some NBA draft drama, but we do indeed.
Oh, so great. Yep. All right, hey, best luck and congrats to your Warriors.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you, Drew. A very solid man, that Drew Dinsick. Coming back, golf and basketball drama next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back and free bets up to $25. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to take advantage of the offer all season long. Just opt into the one-game parlay insurance promotion, then place a one-game parlay wager with four legs or more on any Major League Baseball game. If you miss only one leg on your wager, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, or Washington, D.C. Skill Alexander. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Brian Ortega in studio this morning as a producer in for the ailing. Can we say he's ailing, Jeff Parlay? This makes it sound serious,
yesterday.
Right?
I think he's fine. He's good.
Ailing makes it sound really serious.
True.
Exactly. Under the weather. I don't know. Maybe it's allergies. He wasn't feeling well.
He just wanted me to talk to you today. That was it.
That was it. He just wanted. He's like, yeah, he needs some more take in his life. Brian, you may recall, was on a numbers game on the desk here with me back before the Oscars. So you went to see Top Gun.
I did. I've seen it twice. I saw it in IMAX the Friday it came out. And that's how you have to watch it.
Everything that it was hyped up to be?
Oh, yeah. My seat was shaking. It's going to save movie theaters. That's all I got to say.
Going to save movie theaters.
At least that's what I say. But yeah, I think they say it's projected to make over $1 billion, which is the largest opening for our largest box office for Tom Cruise ever. So pretty big deal.
I told you, but producer number 7, Jason Kahn, one of my favorite Jason Kahn stories was I told him I hadn't been to a movie theater in 2 years. This is when he was back here. And he goes, well, you're going to go. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, it's Top Gun. I go, well, I don't think I'm going to go see that. He goes, really, Gil? Top Gun? It's just getting into the... Anyway, so I'm glad to... But the review I heard was that 35 years of technological advances, they took advantage of all of it.
They did, but also, like, not a lot of, like, GFX, not a lot of green screen. A lot of stuff, they say, was shot in the air.
And Tom Cruise did it all.
All of it, with all the G-forces and everything.
That guy's my sugar.
Miles Teller even said he had jet fuel in his veins. And then Tom Cruise said, which is a real thing, and then Tom Cruise said, I live for that. And... That's Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. All right. So there's one thing you love betting besides the Oscars, and that is golf. You had Will Zalatoris this past weekend?
I did. Me with everybody in the control room at Circa had Will Zalatoris, Scottie Scheffler, but then Fitzpatrick had to mess everything up. But it was a very enjoyable weekend
of
golf.
It was what a boon for golf.
Couldn't be better. It was an amazing golf tournament to follow on a Sunday. Great sweat.
It was, I mean, the state of the game is such, like, we, you know, we live in the moment, so we don't ever sort of, and we're better, so we don't ever take time necessarily, step back and process. But golf, and this is all because of the generation that Tiger Woods created. We have about 15 guys on tour who are course-proof, really are. Like, it doesn't matter what course is in front of them, they're just that good at this point. And we were going last night on Primetime Action a little bit on the show yesterday here on a numbers game, talking about just like random dudes who won majors this century.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a list of about, you know, five of them. Y.E. Yang being one of them, Matthew Hamilton, Rich Beam.
Matsuyama. Winning the Masters.
Well, I don't know, but Matsuyama was one of the great players on Earth. I mean, I'm talking about guys in the early part of this century. Like, those guys couldn't exist today, where they just randomly sprout up and win a major. Like, it just doesn't happen anymore. So the tour, on the one hand, has never been in a better position. On the other, then, there's this LIV Golf thing happening, the Greg Norman-headed LIV Golf Tour, Saudi Arabian money behind it. And this morning, in case you missed it again, we mentioned at the top, Brooks Koepka, the latest PGA Tour player, maybe now former PGA Tour player, to join the LIV Golf Tour. And Brooks Koepka, 19th ranked in the world, quickly followed by Abraham Ancer, the 20th ranked golfer in the world, both of them on their way to join the Saudi-backed tour. Now, Brian, this morning, there were rumors that it was going to be far beyond Brooks Koepka. And so the first article that I read this morning when I read this, I was like, oh my God, it's all out war. This could be the seismic shift of them all. Because the rumors this morning were that in addition to Koepka, that fellow major champion Colin Morikawa, world number 8 Victor Hovland, and 5-time PGA Tour winner Xander Schauffele were all rumored to be contemplating jumping ship. Now, if that were to have happened, because Brooks Koepka to me, although again, multiple major winner, certainly had his run where he was great, and he's still the 19th ranked player in the world, but Brooks Koepka falls into the same category as the DJs of the world, the Dustin Johnsons, who are, you know, still probably among the elite golfers in the world, but not actually the ones in the very moment now winning the big events.
That's right.
And two really ornery guys who, let's face it, you kind of could guess might be the types of dudes that would go over to that tour
exactly.
And take the money.
Yes.
But had it been any combination or any one of Morikawa, Hovland, or Shoffley, then you start to get, particularly Morikawa and Hovland at their age, then you would start to get into the area of, okay, now you can no longer say that this LIV thing is about golfers who had their heyday or who have yet to have their heyday or may never have a heyday, I should say. Now, then you would be getting into a territory of, oh no, they are now taking the core of the current tour. But Colin Morikawa has spoken about this rumor.
Yes. So this was about 15 minutes ago on his Twitter account. Said, to state for the record, once again, you all are absolutely wrong. I've said it since February at Riviera that I'm here to stay at the PGA Tour and nothing has changed. Now, if you then he goes on to, you know, he's going to eat some cereal. But yeah, I think that would have been seismic because he doesn't just actually play in the tournaments. He also does a lot of stuff for their like YouTube channels, their actual NBC Golf channel. They sort of follow around, do foodie stuff. So he does a lot of stuff involving the PGA Tour. So he's sort of a face for the PGA, which.
Well, he's also the number four ranked player in the world, right?
Exactly.
Young.
Yes.
And you asked me off air, like, besides Tiger Woods, who would be the worst possible player for the PGA Tour to lose? Like, what player would be the most damaging? I'm hard-pressed to name anyone worse than Morikawa, right? Yeah. So there, he has denied it. Now, of course, people listening are going to be like, didn't DJ deny it? Yeah, DJ did deny it some time ago. But we'll take Morikawa at his word. Harold Varner rumored to go over, Ricky Fowler rumored to go over. I'm not sure if Varner has been confirmed at all.
But those guys, I mean, they're not like the same guys. I mean, and Ricky Fowler, he was on the alternate list this weekend. Like,
no
he was there warming up and
no question.
Didn't play. So, I mean, it might help him if he goes and plays over there, I think.
So Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, giving a press conference today at 1 p.m. Eastern to 10 a.m. Pacific. There is a mandatory players meeting tomorrow morning at the Travelers. That according to Dan Rappaport. So the drama, the plot thickens. By the way, Dan Rappaport, staff writer, PGA Tour insider, Golf Digest. So anyway, bringing it back to betting then, in the end, right, there are some people who believe, well, this is, you know, this LIV tour perfect for this LIV tour perfect for betting. If we don't have TV of it here in the U.S. anyway, which we don't, you ever going to bet on this? I mean, I know guys who are,
yeah,
but like I can't, you know, those are also the same guys that bet the senior tour and bet European tours and are not necessarily watching it. But like any of the super serious golf bettors that I know. I don't think they're really betting it the same way because they can't model the courses either.
Exactly. And I think maybe in the beginning you might be able to get good numbers on it because how do you handicap 54-hole golf tournament?
Well, that's the other thing.
But,
right?
But I think, you know, as time goes on, it might become one of those more niche things like the senior tour, things like that, or Champions Tour. But also I just read, I think Max Homa is also going over there as well.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah. So it's from his Twitter account that he said, yeah, you're going to give me $200 million, then yeah, let's do it.
Are we to take him at his word then that they gave him $200 million?
I don't know if it's $200 million, but it says that's what he said. But I think there was rumors this morning that he was possibly going as well.
Yeah. This is the tough part about it is like I want to, my instincts are to say, oh, you're taking all this dirty money and you are. On the other hand, we're not walking in those guys' shoes. And Brian Ortega, if you were out there and you were offered $150 million, let's just be conservative. Let's say $100 million. Well, let's be conservative. Are you taking that money? Do you care what
with bells on.
With bells on. So that's the, you know, that's the thing. I try to be, you can't really go all in on this because it is such a ridiculous amount of money yet those guys have so much. Do they really need to take the money? And apparently they do, in many of these cases. It's fascinating to watch. Betting-wise, though, I don't know if it's changing my life at all. We'll come back. Mark Borchardt on baseball next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.